Welcome to the National Crawford Roundtable Podcast, a view of culture, current events, and politics through a biblical lens, with your hosts, Neil Boron, Bob Duco, Roger Marsh, and John Rush. Now let's join the conversation.
Happy to be back with you folks for another episode of the National Crawford Roundtable Podcast with John and Roger, myself, Bob Duco, Neil Boron, not with us this week. We look forward to having Neil back with us next week. But John, Roger, hey guys, how you doing? How's Christmas?
Fabulous.
Doing well, Bob. It was great. How about yours?
It was great. Always love getting together with the family, and I've always enjoyed Christmas time. You know, it's a great time, but here we are. It's past Christmas. We're heading to the new year. And this episode, everybody, is going to be the final episode of the year. So we're going to kind of have a recap and a look back on all things 2021, in the area of news and politics, in COVID, in culture, certainly in the body of Christ. And so a lot of things to review. But before, guys, we get into some of the specific things, because we're going to break them down and talk about specific areas. But first, I'm curious, just in an overall general sense, John, let me maybe start with you, John Rush. Is there any kind of headline takeaway that you would encapsulate 2021 with? I mean, what's the briefest way that you would describe 2021, if there's anything in particular that stands out to you?
2020 redo.
Okay. 2020 redo.
Or part due, maybe I should say it that way.
Part due. Yeah,
there you go. Part due.
Part due.
Because if you think about it, it really was just a continuation of a lot of the nonsense we went through towards the end of 2020 just continued into 2021. This current administration did every single thing they possibly could to unwind some of the things that had been done in the previous administration, used COVID as that continual tool to make a lot of those things happen, and it's still going on, I hate to say, today. Almost 2 years later, we're still going through some of the same garbage that we were then.
Yeah, all right. Roger, what do you think? I mean, what's your headline takeaway from 2021 before we start unpacking it
individually? Well, I realize that Amazon is doing this now where they'll title a book with one word and then give it a really lengthy subtitle that's kind of in right now. So my heading, if you will, for 2021 would be 2021, same verse, same as the first, a little bit louder and a little bit worse. I mean, that's our second verse. I mean, all of the bad things that were projected on us in 2020 have just been ramped up in 2021. Mm-hmm. The silver lining all of this, though, is the fact that more and more people on both sides of the political spectrum, even in some of the ideological spectrums, are beginning to wake up and realize. I mean, CBS News, for crying out loud, running a headline just last week saying, COVID fatigue is starting to take over America. People are tired of the lockdowns. They're tired of the gloom and doom. I mean, this whole concept of what they call doom scrolling now, where you just get on your social media pages and scroll and scroll, and it's bad news, bad news, bad news, bad news. People are starting to wake up and saying, hey, wait a minute, I want something different. I want something better. And so I'm encouraged that for Christians in general, but for us in particular, we have the opportunity to be carriers of the true light of hope and encouragement, not poo-pooing and soft-chewing around the realities. You know, people get COVID all the time now, and they get different variants of it. And for some people, it can be devastating. And for other people, as I talked to a friend from church, he and his wife had it over Thanksgiving. And this guy has congestive heart failure. About 2 years ago, we weren't sure Mike was still going to be around. And when I found out that he had COVID, I asked him, I said, well, how was it? He goes, I just looked at Tricia, my wife, and said, that's it? I mean, that it was 3 days on my back, and then I was back up and running again. So, I mean, I think as more and more people begin to take a look at the fact that 98% of the world is not in a panic over this. I mean, the numbers don't bear out the mass hysteria that we've seen. People are beginning to wake up, and I'll be honest with you guys, I'm anticipating a red wave in 2022. I mean, with people just waking up, and you watch what happened. You think Newt Gingrich and company in 94 was a big deal? 22, I think, is really going to set some records.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. And by the way, I certainly hope that you're right about that. It seems like you would be. You know, when I look at 2021, it seems almost like a really pivotal year. You know, that there's times in history where there's certain events that happen where we veered off in a completely different direction or moved forward at breakneck speed down a particular path. And it seems like the whole socialism, Marxism, communism, government control thing, it just seems like we really went into 2.0 hyperspeed in that, heading down that road to turn the USA into the USSA. I look at Joe Biden and all I think to myself is Weekend at Bernie's. That it's hard to believe that we've actually been able to go through an entire year having a president, a dementia-ridden president, basically propped up by 2x4s with puppeteers calling the shots and him pretty much being the one out in camera, in front of the camera as little as possible. It's just, it's mind-blowing that you can take somebody who's this far from in command and prop him up as a faux president. And it seems like that's really what's kind of gone on here. And so the Marxists, the leftists, the AOC crowd and whatever, they have seized this opportunity to say, we're going to officially usher in a new age of American communism. The government controls your lives. We perpetuate fear. We use the COVID thing to do this. You know, Rahm Emanuel, never let a good crisis go to waste. They have not let COVID go to waste. They have used this to usher in this new age. And I don't know that we get the toothpaste back in the tube. I hope that we do. I agree, Roger, with what you say about a red wave coming this fall. It most likely is. What's going to be important is for the Republican Party to be smart about this, capitalize on this, and the way that Newt Gingrich did with his contract with America, make this something easily sellable and understandable and relatable to the American public so they can clearly see, hey, wait a minute here, the Republican conservative policies are right and best, and that's what we need to go with going forward. So we'll see what happens with it. But let's unpack some of this individually if we could. In the issue of politics and Joe Biden, let's maybe start with President Biden. And John, maybe we could toss it over to you. Some of your thoughts, your analysis on Joe Biden as we come to the end of 2021, his first year as president.
Well, I think it's very apparent, and for those that don't believe me, I'd be more than happy to debate this with anyone, Bob, but he is the puppet. Somebody else is pulling the strings. I predicted early on, even with some of my listeners, I've got some standing lunch bets that Joe Biden will make it the full 4 years. Some said he wouldn't make it this long. He's going the full, trust me, unless something really wild happens, and I'm not going to predict anything along those lines because I don't think it's happening. Joe goes the full 4 years. What happens in the reelection side of the fence? We can talk about that at a later podcast probably, but you know, Joe is the puppet. Somebody else is pulling the strings. You can see that by how things are handled, guys, when he's on prompter versus when he's off prompter. And to me, that's always an indication of who's really calling the shots in any presidency, is what happens when that teleprompter is not there any longer. Is the message exactly the same? Is the mental cognizant the same? You know, is he able to create or recreate the same message that would be there when the teleprompter's there? And the answer with Joe Biden is, of course, no. I mean, he can't hardly remember what time he got up that day, guys, if he's not prompted to do so. So the reality is, he is the front man, somebody else behind the scenes, and I think we all know there's multiple parties, by the way, that I believe are doing that, but he's the front man, but he's gonna be the front man all the way through. So those of you out there that think that, you know, somehow Harris, you know, Vice President Harris is gonna take over the throne, that's not gonna happen. The Democrats are not gonna allow that. I think they know they made a huge mistake, by the way, in having her as VP. Maybe we should talk about that at some point here today as well. But the reality is, he's the front man, somebody else is behind the scenes pulling the strings. But he's going to be that for the next, 2 years. It's not changing.
Okay, now let me ask you about that. And John, I want to go back with you. Roger, hang on just a moment because I want to get your take on this in a second here. But I'll tell you what, let's do this if we could. I'm looking at the clock, short break.
Don't leave it here, so 3 years.
Right. I'll tell you what, short break, we'll pick it up right from that point on this National Crawford Roundtable podcast.
Be transformed by the Word of God with Alistair Begg and Truth for Life. Every weekday, Alistair Begg teaches the Bible verse by verse through in-depth attention to the Word of God. You can listen to Truth For Life on many Crawford radio stations or listen online at truthforlife.org. Please support this important ministry with your donations at truthforlife.org or by calling 888-588-7884, and be sure to let them know you heard about Truth For Life from the National Crawford Roundtable Podcast.
Continuing the National Crawford Roundtable Podcast with John Rush, Roger Marsh, myself, Bob Duco, Neil Boron not back with us. He'll be back next week. Kind of doing a year-end recap of a lot of different things, talking about politics and specifically Joe Biden right now. Okay, Roger, before
so,
I jump
real
over
quick,
to,
Bob, is it, was it bad that I thought it's already been 2 years?
just trying to get through this as quickly as possible.
My word.
Hey, it seems like it's been 20 years
honestly,
to me, so I get it. But, you know, John, I – 6 months, probably closer to a year ago, I guess. Well, I don't know. I would have totally disagreed with what you said about Joe Biden riding it out the 4 years. Now, I'm not so sure, but I do believe that the original plan of the Democrats was, let's just keep him propped up Weekend at Bernie's for 2 years. If we can just milk the clock for 2 years and a day, then we can make the transition to Kamala Harris, get her established as the president for a couple of years. Since it'll be just less than 2 years, that won't count constitutionally as a term for her, so we can get another two full terms out of her and get 10 years from President Kamala Harris. I think that was their original plan, and that they've just been really surprised at how badly she has not been able to sell herself at all. People look at her and at the cackling, and just
that's
everything
awful.
About her like is cringeworthy. And I think the Democrats are going, oh no, our Kamala strategy isn't working. Now what do we do? And so it seems to me that there's going to be primaries in 2024, and Kamala's going to have to try her best in those primaries. But they're right now, I think, fishing and searching
she won't
for
make
that
it,
star.
That happens, by the way.
I know. And so now the problem is they now have, instead of one more year to keep him propped up, they've got three more years to somehow keep him propped. Well, actually, in all fairness, maybe two more years, because that final year, they can ignore him. He can go
that's
into
right.
his bunker and they can focus on the primaries and the candidates. So
that's
they just really have two more years to pass him off, John, as the president.
Agreed.
But I'll tell you what. You watch this, and here's what, John, if anything starts happening with Kamala Harris, her poll numbers start going up, she does something big and presidential looking, or whatever, or Joe Biden gets sick, it's an operation, he's out for 6 weeks, and she has some time, and she rehabilitates her image, the media will grab a hold of that, then suddenly I'm gonna go back to, they're gonna do their original plan. And try to transition to her sometime before the end of his first four term.
You know, I don't think it's in her. That's just my own prediction.
Yeah, and you're probably right, but we'll have to
mainly
see.
And the reason I say that for everybody listening is I don't think she's got the moldability or the ability to listen to others around her, critique her, and then take that and apply it to her life. I think she's a very stubborn individual that's going to do it her way only. Problem is, her way doesn't work.
Right, and you would think so. I mean, come on, in the primaries, 2020 primaries, she didn't even get 1%. She got nothing, you know, so.
And it hasn't changed.
I know. And that's why somehow, some way, I think the Democrats and the media are looking for some kind of a game changer for her, because if they could rehabilitate her image somehow and she could rise to that, it's way better for the Democrats to have an incumbent president.
Agree.
Who's been in office for even a year, and people are used to saying Madam President and seeing her at the G7 summits and such. That makes it a lot easier for her to get reelected than to try to get it for the first time in primaries. So,
you know, I appreciate
Roger, yes.
that. Well, Bob, I appreciate what you guys are saying and everything. I can poke a hole in it with one presidential ticket, because quite frankly, I agree and resonate. And here's the problem that the Democrats are going to face. If the Republicans decide to run Joe Manchin and Tulsi Gabbard against Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, who do you think is going to win? I mean, the problem the Democrats are running right now is there are Democratic voices who are calling out President Biden. As a matter of fact, there was an article that came out last week about Joe Manchin. They said, hey, look, this is the moment where Senator Joe Manchin became President Joe Manchin by saying he's not going to vote for Build Back Better. I mean, the Democrats have a major image problem, and the problem is they spend so much time focusing on image right now. Well, Joe Biden represents stability. Remember, he was the stability in the Barack Obama ticket. You know, people were concerned about an African-American guy, didn't have a lot of, you know, government experience or whatever, but here comes Joe Biden, career politician, and that'll help us win middle America. We all know, I mean, John, as you duly noted, Kamala Harris was a disaster in the 2020 primaries. I mean, she couldn't, what was it Tommy Lasorda used to say, she couldn't hit water if she fell out of a boat. I mean, quite frankly, she was so unelectable. And yet, they also, well, we need a woman, right? And she's mixed race. Okay, she checks off all the boxes. All she has to do is basically stay alive, and if Joe screws up after a year and a half, we'll wheel her in. Well, quite frankly, I think if you talk to the president of Guatemala and Nicaragua and all the Border Patrol people about the stellar job that she's done overseeing that project, the American people are looking at going, who is this woman? Guys, we have a woman in the vice presidency in the United States. And when was the last time you heard any one of those puff pieces, prepackaged packages on CNN or whatever about, isn't this historic that there's a woman in the White House this close to the power of the presidency and the leader of the free world? Never. All that stuff that they had all prepared for Hillary Clinton, none of it for Kamala Harris. The occasional Time magazine cover at the supermarket, whatever. And why is that? Because even they know she's a disaster. They can't just do the whole story, I want freedom and this, that. We would be seeing all year long historic woman, biracial, blah, blah, blah. And instead, what do we see? She's kind of quiet. She's kind of off the grid. She's kind of off the radar. We're just going to keep her, you know, cutting ribbons. And, by the way, she was in Europe when they were making big, heavy decisions. I mean, she's been an unqualified disaster for the Biden presidency. And the fact, too, quite frankly, if I'm Joe Biden and I'm talking about how I'm in front of Omicron and I'm in front of all these variants and this, that, and the other thing, why does the U.S. lead the world in infection rates in COVID right now? We have the best healthcare system in the world, and we can't figure this thing out. I mean, let's face it. But, you know, when you're trying to tap dance around 6.8% inflation and, you know, everything else, that, I mean, it's happening worldwide. But the U.S. just looks like a war zone when it doesn't need to be. We should be the ones who are giving people hope worldwide. Yeah. We've got an answer to this. We've got this cured. One doctor I was reading this morning was asking a very, I thought, a simple but rhetorical question about the jab. He said, you know, when Biden spoke to the nation last week about, you know, we're going to send $500 million, you know, free testing kits, just go to our government website and make sure you let us know that you haven't been jabbed yet or you haven't been tested yet. I mean, people aren't stupid. They can figure out what the tracking and tracing is going on. His question was, why can't I go to my general practitioner's office and get the vaccine? Why do I have to drive through in a parking lot at Walmart? You know, why do I have to go to the post office or wherever else they're jabbing people and testing people right now? Why is it that the people that we should be trusting, the MDs, the GPs, the internists, people who are studying this stuff, why are they not getting access to giving the vaccine? Wouldn't that give people more confidence in the overall vaccine? But the administration doubles down on, well, you have to get it from health, Rite Aid or CVS or something like that, where you can buy just about anything over the counter. I mean, this presidency, I mean, in 1 year, he's made Jimmy Carter look like St. Francis of Assisi.
You know, that is a very good point. You think about 1980 when Reagan trounced Jimmy Carter and the whole malaise thing and the malaise speech, the infamous malaise speech that Jimmy Carter gave. How is Joe Biden any different than here's a guy who said this is going to be a winter of despair and death and everything else? And just it's really incredible. And by the way, on Kamala Harris, what you're saying, keep in mind, this is the lady who, with the border humanitarian crisis going on, no, he cackles about it, but passes out Kamala cookies to people.
Oh, nice.
So
that's right.
Just everything about her is just, you're absolutely right. A disaster. Well, I'll tell you, talk about Joe Biden. Let's continue about Joe Biden, though, and the job that he did, recapping his performance through 2021. How about the economy? Because I know COVID is going to be its own category. We're going to talk about COVID, Omicron, all of that. The economy. You know, John, what blows my mind is that the Biden administration actually put out what they're calling their list of 2021 accomplishments, and they included the economy in their list of accomplishments. And I'm like, wow, you talk about audacity to actually claim something like that. You look at the economy, John, under Joe Biden, what he has squandered is just mind-blowing.
Yep.
To look at inflation, 6.8% inflation, which, by the way, can I say?
It's more like 10. It's not even that.
It's actually higher than, right, yes. That's right. Because you can't, the consumer price index, it's kind of like.
They take the stuff out that matters the most.
Exactly, like gas prices and such. And so if you actually look at the, right. So if you look at the true cost of living for people, it is double-digit inflation that we're operating in right now. And I want to remind everybody, John, that hurts the poor more than anybody else. The Democrats claim they're all about the poor, but guess what? The rich don't care how much a gallon of milk costs, but the poor certainly does.
They don't even know the price of the gallon of milk, Bob.
Right. I know. So it seems to me that this is a huge legacy of Joe Biden's, the destruction of the economy.
It is, and keep in mind, I know we're going to talk about COVID as well, but anytime you hear an administration tell you that they care about your safety or your health or your finances or anything along those lines, they're lying through their teeth. We've already proven through COVID they don't care about your health. Just look at the southern border if you want to argue that one. I mean, that's an easy one to say they don't care about public health if you look at the southern border. They don't care about the economy and how it hurts the poor and what's going on with what you just said a moment ago. And to your point, they squandered, you know, coming out of COVID, if they would have released things correctly coming out of COVID, we already had the best economy in the world going into COVID. It could have been released properly, gone right back to it. You could have been a leader throughout the rest of the world in how to handle COVID, which I know we're going to talk about later. But the reality, Bob, is all of that squandered. You can never go back in time and change things. And why more people out there, I said this on my program yesterday, why more people out there are not talking about this and the fact that Anthony Fauci foisted this upon mankind, why we're not talking more about that and being doggone mad about it is beyond me.
You're absolutely right. Actually, we are going to be talking about that quite a bit when we get into the COVID part of this. Roger, hang on a second. I want to get your take on Joe Biden and his economic record after the first year as we continue this National Crawford Roundtable podcast.
Dr. James Dobson left a successful career in academia to preserve and promote the biblical family in America. The radio broadcasting ministry of Dr. Dobson spans over four decades, earning him 17 honorary doctorate degrees and an induction into the National Radio Hall of Fame. Today, Dr. Dobson continues to champion marriage and parenthood through Family Talk. Listen every weekday at drjamesdobson.org and be sure to reference the National Crawford Roundtable podcast when asked how you listen to Family Talk.
Continuing the National Crawford Roundtable podcast with myself, Bob Duco, John Rush, Rush to Reason from Denver, Colorado, Roger Marsh of The Bottom Line from the People's Republic of California, Neil Boron of Neil Boron Live, be back with us next week, kind of our year-end recap. We're talking about Joe Biden and specifically the economic record of Joe Biden. Roger, your thoughts, your analysis on the economy, the 2021 economy of Joe Biden.
Well, it's a disaster. I mean, quite frankly, there are people who are doing well, but let's face it, the people who are doing well are people who had something to work with to begin with. If you are out of the loop and you're trying to get into the loop, your situation has not improved. If you are in the loop and you are playing the way the government expected you would play, then you're in the minority. I mean, one of the things that I've noticed is when you look at the unemployment rate being so very, very low, and of course the Biden White House will say, see, look what we did. We're running the economy so well because the unemployment rate is at a ridiculously low rate. But then you read the financial analysts are saying, yeah, but there's a labor shortage. I mean, there are, you know, people are getting better pay. I was talking with a colleague the other day who's, her husband had left his job for another job. He took a job with his local government. Turned out the government job didn't pan out. He went back to his old employer and he went back to his old job at a 20% pay increase. Mm. Because once he left, they were having such a hard time finding, it's a kind of a skilled labor type of position. It wasn't necessarily a full-time career, but it was the type of thing where, you know, if you were making $15 an hour one week and you're making $18 an hour the next, it's largely just supply and demand. But one of the things that I just marvel at is when you read the stories about, well, what the White House didn't take into consideration was that the baby boomers, who were all forced into retirement because of COVID, we want to get their expensive paychecks off our payrolls or whatever, but we figured they'd all need to come back to work at some point, and they're not coming back to work. So now what do we do? Well, does that mean we're going to have to import more workers or we're going to have to pay higher wages? Well, John, you know what, Bob, too, you guys are business owners. You know what it means. When you pay higher wages for your labor, guess what happens to the cost of your goods and services? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, if they think that what's happening right now isn't a recipe for hyperinflation, I mean, like we haven't seen since the mid-1970s and the late 1970s. I mean, again, that's why Jimmy Carter's dancing a jig right now, because Joe Biden is making him look like a financial wizard.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know what it's like where you guys are at, but I know here in Colorado, it's tough to hire anybody. I mean, there's signs up even for, you know, fast food restaurants and things like that where your starting pay is $20 an hour. I know in my business, wow. You know, you can't hire anybody for less than that, and skilled workers are $25 to $30 an hour. We have seen a literal $10 an hour increase in average pay. From what I'm looking at as an employer, it's $10 an hour average increase over what it was a year, year and a half ago.
Mm. And you know something? When you put that kind of strain on businesses,
it's huge.
It is huge because number one, all it does is increase automation more. We hear so many complaints
yes.
about AI and automation and such. Well, guess what? Business is going to hire more and more robots. I guarantee you, they're finding ways
yes.
to say, how can we eliminate flesh and blood people and replace them with machines? So you've got that. Number two, it really hurts low and no skilled labor, and this tends to be lower income people in this country, mm-hmm. which really hurts the poor, and it just adds to inflation, which devastates the poor. So it's
right.
like these policies.
There's no net gain in all of this, folks. So
you may think
that, you know, the lower income folks going out making $20 an hour is a big win, but at the end of the day, when everything else costs 10 to 15% more across
exactly.
the board, which is where you're at, nobody wins, guys. In fact, we all lose. I mean, let's talk about the reality of it. Everybody, the country loses when we do this. There is no winners at all.
Yeah, so true. All right, so Joe Biden, I think we're in agreement. His first year has just been an absolute disaster. Economy, inflation, not to mention we could spend a whole hour talking about the infringing on religious freedoms, the border security debacle that's happening there, the people flooding into this country, mm-hmm. foreign policy we're being laughed at around the world. People aren't taking us seriously. Of course, Afghanistan, what an absolute nightmare. We still have Americans stranded over there
right.
that we can't get out of there. And of course, the Democrats' hyper obsession on January 6th and trying to milk that into mm-hmm. the largest cataclysmic event in the history of the universe. It's like, come on. So,
and I add one more thing too, real quick. Bob,
yeah, real quick. Right, about 30 seconds to the bottom.
Please don't come at me that the stock market's the greatest it's ever been. It's going to be that great when you flood the market with money and there's nowhere else to put it. Of course, the stock market's going to do well. So don't tell me that Joe's doing a great job because of the stock market.
Excellent point. All right, folks, the second half of the Crawford Roundtable podcast is coming up. If you can listen to the second half right there on your local radio station, that's great. If you're not able to, then go ahead and switch over and listen to the second half online. You can do that wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, and more. You can also go to CrawfordMediaGroup.net. And listen to the second half of this National Crawford Roundtable podcast, which is coming up next.
This has been a Crawford Broadcasting production.
Continuing the second half of the National Crawford Roundtable podcast with myself, Bob Duco out of Detroit, with Roger Marsh from the Bottom Line of the People's Republic of California, John Rush, Rush to Reason from Denver, Colorado, Neil Boron Live out of Buffalo, New York. Neil's not with us. He'll be back with us next week. We're doing an end of the year recap. Okay, so we talked about Joe Biden. Let's move into a specific discussion on COVID, the Omicron variant. I got to tell you guys, and Roger, maybe start with you on this. This absolutely makes my eye twitch the way that the Fauci and company are perpetuating this sense of fear with Omicron. I'm thinking, let's look at some basic facts here. If we actually follow the data, here's what we find. Omicron is just not that serious. It's not. Yeah, but it spreads so fast. Okay, but who cares how fast it spreads if it's not that dangerous?
Actually, that's a blessing, Bob.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. And if anything else, all we're doing is slowing down. We're trying to slow down the eventuality of everybody getting Omicron. It's like, are you kidding me? No, let this thing. Exactly.
Right.
But here's what we got to remember. Let's look at the actual numbers, okay? Last week, the CDC announced the first confirmed Omicron death. And by the way, this was a person in his 50s, but he had underlying health conditions too. So for all we know, he died from something else and they credited Omicron. But okay, mm-hmm. but one death. The very same week, last week, the CDC estimated that there were 650,000 Americans that had COVID or that had Omicron. They said that 73% of all COVID cases were Omicron. Some places it was 90% in the country. And that it's anywhere from 130 to 140,000 a day that we're getting Omicron. So if you factor in the people the CDC doesn't know about, we easily, as of last week, had over a million people in this country with Omicron and one death. Now, let's put this into perspective. Now, I know, of course, that's one death, so more deaths are being added. I get that. But look how small it is, Roger, because remember, your chance of dying in a car crash, not in your entire life, just sometime within the next 12 months, your chance of dying in 2022 in a car crash is 1 in 8,400. Yet, we're not panicked about getting in our car and driving to work, and you got a 1 in 8,400 chance of dying. We've had one death as of last week out of over a million Omicron cases, and we've got panic and fear and the perpetuation of all of this kind of mask mandates and everything else. I'm telling you, Roger, it's driving me nuts.
It's Gideon's army in reverse. You know, you get 300 people and have them start banging them, a lot of noise and banging all around, and the soldiers run around and start killing each other. I mean, you know, it really is amazing to me, Bob, to kind of put in perspective where the media is with all of this. I mean, they can use words like surge and spike and, you know, all the damning data that they have and why we all need to be careful. But at the end of the day, I mean, I think we can all recognize the fact that there are people who live apart from Christ who live in fear, and they like to think, okay, I took the pill, I got the shot, I live in the right city, I vote the right way, whatever it is, and now I'm safe. And all of a sudden they feel that their safety is threatened. I was reading an interview with the legendary rock and roll guitarist Brian May from the band Queen, you know, the guy who wrote We Will Rock You and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And he's 74 years old. He and his wife both tested positive. Again, one of my favorite stories, because they were both double jabbed, you know, and yet they got this. And apparently he had a tough go with COVID. I mean, it happens. I mean, I don't know what his pre-existing conditions are. Because of his age, it might be a big issue. But he was giving an interview to a British publication, and he was talking about COVID very matter-of-factly. He said, now, I know that, you know, everyone here, you know, of course, you've all been vaccinated and, you know, you've all been exposed to this. And I thought to myself, wait a minute. So dug in deep, looked at the numbers. And when you look at the percentage of the population of the world who have been impacted by COVID, it's something like 3.6%. I mean, I realize those are reported cases of people who have actually been infected with COVID. But when you compare that to the world population, I mean, guys, I don't want to say it's not that big a deal, because if you've had it and it's been tough, I mean, obviously it is a big deal. If you know someone who passed away, it's been a big deal. But the fear-mongering that comes out of the mainstream media, it's just so easy now. I mean, locally, as soon as Omicron hit, we went from a South African doctor saying, I noticed in 10 male patients in their 20s that they were testing positive for COVID, but they didn't have the traditional symptoms. Instead, they were really tired, and I guess they had a scratchy throat. All of a sudden, a month later, it's a worldwide pandemic. The Australian Open is closed. They're locking people up in cages in Australia. I mean, the United States is just going nuts, when common sense and actually following the real science has to take a look objectively, not only at Fauci, but also Dr. Francis Collins, the outgoing director of the NIH. This is a guy that Christians have revered for years, who gave an exit interview recently, I believe, to either a media publication, or there are some unearthed emails coming out, where he said, we've got to get rid of the anti-vaxxers. I mean, they're screwing things up here. I mean, the goal here, obviously, how many hundreds of millions of vaccines have been handed out in the United States? And how many people, I was reading recently, there was a class action lawsuit filed against one of the manufacturers, and I think 5,000 people or families have been able to settle either debilitating illness or, in some cases, death because of the vaccine. How come that doesn't make it into the public eye? That's far more concerning to me. Yeah, that's right. But, John, you hit the nail on the head. There's a narrative in the world right now that says COVID is bad. COVID bad. If you get it, you're going to die. But before you die, you're going to infect all your friends, and they're going to die too.
Right.
And I mean, let's face it, Bob, you had it. You recovered. You have the antibodies in your system. You're fine. Right. I mean, to my knowledge, I mean, we have
over a year later, I still got them.
Yeah, still got them. Right.
Right.
So the thing.
Oh, but Bob, the science says that's gone in about 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Right,
oh, well.
And we love some of the spin. Omicron is actually knocking down some of the antibodies of the vaccine. What are you saying? In other words, that the vaccine can't stop Omicron? I mean, that the antibodies that you have injected into your body aren't as effective as the one Bob has because he got it the old-fashioned way and survived it. I mean, where are the success stories? Where are the healing stories?
I want to rephrase what you just said a moment ago, too, and I think I'm going to say this the right way. They're knocking God's immunity versus man's immunity. Let's face it, guys. That's really what this boils down to,
perfect.
Right?
Perfect. Perfectly.
Yeah. That's a good point. And, yeah, actually, I should start using the term God's immunity, because I say natural immunity all the time. You know, natural immunity. I've been harping on that large. If they're following the science, then they would acknowledge the reality of natural immunity. But you're right, John. It's God's immunity. That's how he created the body and designed us. You're right to do this. But it does amaze me, though, that this Omicron variant has so many people operating in this kind of fear and panic, and they won't look at the numbers. We're in a post-truth world, and so it's all about just keep me alive. I'll give up my freedom and liberty. I don't care. And you do wonder, and John, I'm curious, do you think we can actually get back to normal? I referenced earlier getting the toothpaste back in the tube. Can we get back to a situation in this country where we realize, hold on a second, during cold and flu season, you're liable to catch the cold or you're liable to catch the flu, and people do die from that. And there are going to be variants all the time of something. But it's just, this is different now. Now everybody is in a state of panic and fear, and we shut down businesses and everything else. Is that the new normal, or can we get back to a time where 5 years from now we look at 2020 and 2021 the way that we look at bell bottoms and platform shoes in the 70s? That was a window of time, and wow, wasn't that silly?
I hope it's a window of time, and I pray that that's the case, Bob. But my fear is that no. In fact, my fear is it might even get worse, as in this huge, you know, war, if you would, between the vaccinated versus the unvaccinated continues to play out. And I think it's going to get the point. I've had some doctors on even where we've discussed this to where I don't think it's going to be in the much too distant future where if you are a unvaccinated medical professional, you will not be allowed to practice any further in the United States of America. It's going to create a huge, if you would, black market of healthcare in the country. And maybe that's a good thing. I don't know. I mean, at the end of the day, going to somebody that's actually telling you the truth versus somebody that's just spreading more propaganda. But my prediction is, unfortunately, I don't see it as a window of time. I see this getting to that point of having the unvaccinated more so against the vaccinated, and this becoming more of a civil war, if you would, on down the road to where the medical community becomes very divided. How this will work when it comes to insurance and all those sorts of things, which, by the way, I think has driven a lot of where we're at right now. A lot of these guys have bought into this whole vaccine, you know, mandate and mantra and so on because it's the money. It's a guy with the gold rules, you know, analysis. I mean, the reality is these guys know that the insurance companies and the powers that be are the ones writing their paychecks. Of course, they have to go along with this, whether they agree with it or not, because their life, their money, their life depends on it, guys.
I'll tell you what, let's take a short break. We'll pick it up from there next. More on the National Crawford Roundtable Podcast.
Learn how to walk the narrow path with Steve Gregg. With over 40 years of studying the Bible, Steve Gregg is passionate about teaching you how to apply scriptural wisdom to every aspect of your life. Listen to The Narrow Path on many Crawford radio stations or online at thenarrowpath.com. The Narrow Path is 100% listener-supported. Please keep this vital ministry going with your generous financial support and let them know you heard about The Narrow Path on the National Crawford Roundtable Podcast.
Continue the National Crawford Roundtable Podcast with John Rush, Roger Marsh, myself, Bob Duco. Neil Boron will be back with us next week doing a year-end recap talking about COVID right now. And, Roger, your take on what John was saying, especially about vaccine mandates, and could this thing end up turning into a civil war? Because I hate to say it, but I tend to agree with John here. I don't think this is going to be a window of time and we look back on this. I think this is going to end up being the new normal. And you know how the left works. Give them an inch, they take a light year. They're going to continue pushing down. So it's going to be annual flu shots are going to be required. You're not going to be able to fly on a plane. You're not going to be able to do just normal things in life. You don't get your regular flu shots. Children aren't going to be allowed to go in a Chuck E. Cheese or go to Disney World unless they've had their polio vaccines and MMR and all the 30-some childhood vaccines. And I just got a bad feeling that vaccines themselves are taking on a new cult-like status where they become a necessary requirement, and going unvaccinated is basically tantamount to, walking around with a live hand grenade. You pulled the pin. It's like, no, we cannot allow you in society or your children in society. COVID is just what ushered in and blazed the trail, I think, for this new world. I hope it's not like that 5-10 years from now, but I got a bad feeling it's going to be.
Yeah, I think so too, because we've seen the technology, and I know a lot of people said, well, gosh, the jab isn't necessarily the mark or whatever, but then there's that company in Sweden that has that basic mark that says, hey, we can put your vaccine record, you know, inside your wrist, and just we'll scan it and everything works. Look, the definition of a vaccine, I think that was actually one of the most brilliant strokes of genius from the left with regard to the jab being referred to as a vaccine. Here's the actual definition of vaccine from Merriam-Webster: a substance used to stimulate the production of antibodies and provide immunity against one or several diseases, prepared from the causative agent of a disease, its product, or a synthetic substitute, treated to act as an antigen without inducing the disease. And those are the key words right there. Without, if this were in fact a vaccine that people were putting into their system, why do so many people keep getting the virus? Why does it keep happening? The breakthrough case. It's a miracle. I don't know how this happened. It's a breakthrough. Why does the CDC not count the breakthrough cases? Why does the CDC not look at, as John Dooley noted, God's immunity versus man's immunity? I mean, they're not taking into consideration natural immunity and the fact that we may be closer to herd immunity than we're actually saying. But if the political powers that be, like in Los Angeles, so you've got L.A. County firefighters, L.A. County police officers, and in the city of Los Angeles proper as well, there was a ruling handed down last week that L.A. Fire Department does not have to pay any of the firefighters who are protesting the vaccine mandate while their case is in court. So they'll drag this thing on for years, and these guys aren't getting pay, don't have medical insurance, benefits aren't accumulating, and eventually they might get fired anyway. So now you get to the point where it becomes a Hunger Games type of situation where it's the vaccinated versus the unvaccinated, and who gets to work and who gets to do commerce or not. I have noticed in social media postings that the friends of mine I have that are jabbed seem to be carrying on and living their lives the way they were before. And the people who aren't are the ones who are saying, hey, look, this is really tough, and it's really been kind of a challenge. I think the more we hear about people, you know, if this really were about health, then there wouldn't be such a division here. But the left, as you noted, Bob, never let a good crisis go to waste. And they've taken advantage of this one, and they're running with it right now. So it really is incumbent upon us as freedom-loving, liberty-loving, Christ-loving, God-loving people in this country to stand firm for what is right, knowing that it's going to cost us a relationship or two, may even cost us a job or two, but it's still the right thing to do before God.
Absolutely. All right, so I know we could spend the entire hour just talking about COVID and the vaccine mandates, mask mandates, and the absurdity of all of this. But let's talk about some other things as we recap 2020.
Can I throw one more thing
go ahead, John,
Bob,
please.
Before you do that?
Please.
I still think, and we've talked about this past year in 2021, but I really do feel like, and I'm not trying to be, you know, a naysayer or, you know, one of those guys that, you know, the end of the world is tomorrow, but I really do feel like all of what we've gone through and are currently going through is a conditioning for the mark of the beast, which
yes.
I feel is not that far down the road. You look at the amount of people that have bought into some of the nonsense that's going on right now, and I see this really as a sifting of the wheat versus the chaff. You look at what's gone on, and guys, that's the part that scares me the most, is how many Christians will sign on to some of this garbage that's out there, which means the mark of the beast is going to be easy.
Actually, John, I could not agree with you more. That's something I've been saying, that this whole COVID thing, in my honest opinion, has been a dress rehearsal from Satan.
Yep.
It's been
Amen.
A trial run.
Yep.
Let's see how hard it's going to be to sell the mark of the beast to people. And I think Satan and his demons are sitting around going, wow, is this going to be easier than we thought?
Right. Yes.
I know. I could not agree with you more. Absolutely. All right. Good point, John. So let's, in recapping 2021 here, Let's talk about some areas of culture. My goodness, transgender, the whole transgenderism movement, it's amazing the steroids that it's been put on now, going after our children the way that this entire movement has. It's not just a homosexuality anymore and gay marriage. It is redefining gender, confusing our children. And honestly, guys, not to sound like, you know, gloom and doom here, but I got a really bad feeling about parental rights even 5 years from now, let alone 10 years from now. I can see the time when children are being confused about their gender at school. The guidance counselor tells little 5-year-old Johnny, you're really a girl. Johnny tells mom and dad, yeah, I want a dress for my birthday. Mom and dad says, no, you're a boy. And then Johnny tells the guidance counselor. The guidance counselor calls Child Protective Services, who comes out there to the house, takes Johnny away, or I'm sorry, Joanne away, from the parents because this is now considered psychological abuse. And the fact is, you don't leave children in a home where they are being harmed and abused by the parents. We all get that. Since this is now categorized, misgendering is now being categorized as causing harm and danger to children. Come on, a bunch of Joe Biden, judges, I just believe that they're going to end up ruling against parents in this case, and parents are going to end up losing their kids. So I see this on the horizon with the whole transgenderism movement.
I agree. It's really insidious to see this happening. The fact that this is the way the states operate. I know here in the People's Republic of California, we've seen a lot of CPS cases that weren't transgender related, but, you know, innocent families. One family, they had a 5-month-old child who had a cancer diagnosis. Mom and dad wanted a second opinion. And so before starting treatment at a hospital that was run by the state or by the county, they took the child for another second opinion, had CPS knocking on their door, and had to fight through the legal system to get their kid taken out of foster care. And they were accused of kidnapping their own child simply because they wanted a second opinion. What parent is going to say, oh, doctor says my 5-month-old needs brain surgery. I want a second opinion on that. And the state didn't agree. I mean, that was 10 years ago. So what's happening now with the transgender issues, that's just the gateway. That's the door to open it and make it all happen. And it's amazing how the deceiver from the Garden of Eden, you know, literally didn't say, hey, Eve, come over here and sin. I will tell you exactly what to do. He asked the question, did God really say you can't eat that fruit? And so creating that kind of confusion right now, are you sure you're really a boy? Are you sure you're really a girl? Introducing that kind of conversation. Guys, remember what it was like to be 5 years old? Uh-huh. Remember the only conversation we had about sex and sexuality and gender? It was we figured out that boys said something the girls didn't.
Right.
And that's where it stayed, right? Now you got 4-year-olds going, gee, I wonder if I like that dress and that makes me a girl. Or my daughter likes to play with guns and maybe she wants to be a boy. And we need to start, you know, let's talk about the things that we are trying to protect our kids from. Why is it that the FDA has absolutely no opinion on injecting Lupron into the body of an 8-year-old boy, something
right.
that's designed to help patients with prostate cancer stop the flow of testosterone through the prostate, and instead what they'll do is they'll just jack it in there, so all of a sudden now the boy doesn't properly develop. You sterilize him. He thinks he's a girl. If you've ever met Laura Beth Perry, who does a great ministry with Blackstone Ministries, who is a woman who lived as a man for 9 years and began to live as a woman again, talk about how insidious the industry is in terms of convincing you. The only people you hear from when you question are people who are saying, you should go. You should change. You should go. You should go. It's being normalized in the culture right now. I mean, it's going to be a huge challenge. I look at all of our adult children right now who are raising children themselves and saying, I do not envy the position that you're in. Right.
Nope. Agreed, yeah. Roger.
Your thoughts, John, about the transgender policies.
I interview folks on this one all the time here in Colorado. Yeah. We now have our sports organization, CHASA, which is the Colorado Sports High School Sports Association, where it's now mandated that if somebody wants to be a, you know, transgender and play on the other team, so you're a female, you want to go play on the male team, or you're a male and you want to go play on the female team, it's now mandated in the state of Colorado that all coaches have to allow that to happen in the public school system, or if you're competing in Chassa in general, and that was passed here just recently. Really under the radar, guys. Most people, other than probably me on the radio, I'm probably the only guy in Denver talking about that. No one else out there is even mentioning this, and that's what's happened in the state of Colorado. So to you guys' point, Roger, this is coming. This is going to be a fight for our kids like no other. And if we don't step in and stop this nonsense, we are going to have the most screwed up society in the history of mankind.
You just had a girl that was, she in high school, she wanted to use the boys' locker room and bathrooms and showers. And the school said, well, we can't let you go in there naked. Then 15-year-old girl, we can't let you go in there naked with a bunch of boys, but we'll accommodate you in a way. So they gave this girl her own private shower. But, you know, the news reports say that he was discriminated against. And so this girl was awarded $4 million by a jury. $4 million because of the psychological trauma that was brought on her. Oh, I'm sorry, him, for being denied access to. So, it really is insane. And the decimation of women's sports, you do have to wonder, when are the gals on The View going to smack their foreheads and go, wait a minute here, women. Are over the course of the next 5 to 10 years are going to have their names stripped from the record books, stripped from the Guinness Book of World Records, stripped from history, and replaced with a bunch of men, basically, who identify as women. So, all right. So transgender, that's moved into steroids, certainly in 2021. Tell you what, let's do this. Short break. We'll pick it up from there next here on the National Crawford Roundtable.
Dr. Michael Youssef leads the way for people living in spiritual darkness to discover the light of Jesus Christ. This tremendous outreach begins with the proclamation of God's Word through the uncompromising biblical teaching of Dr. Michael Youssef. Leading the Way is here to equip and strengthen the church to stand strong and to advance the gospel in today's ever-changing world. Listen to Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef at ltw.org/listen, and be sure to mention you heard about their program on the National Crawford Roundtable Podcast.
Continuing the National Crawford Roundtable Podcast, John Rush, Roger Marsh, myself, Bob Duco, Neil Boron will be back with us next week, kind of doing a recap of 2021. By the way, before we talk about the body of Christ, I am kind of curious to get you guys' take on the whole cryptocurrency Bitcoin craze. I know that's not just a 2021 thing, and we really have a complete episode to do one of these weeks just on Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. Mm-hmm. But what do you think of this? Is this a flash in the pan? John, you're a businessman. Is this a flash in the pan that goes away? And once again, we look back at those few years of remember the Bitcoin craze, or is this ushering in a new era, you think, as far as cryptocurrency?
Well, I hate to say that it depends, but it really does. It depends on who ends up being in power when it comes to the financial laws and law of the land. In other words, if they regulate cryptocurrency, it's done. It's gone. It's no longer.
Really? And I'm surprised you say that. I'm surprised you say that, because a lot of the Bitcoin people are saying regulation gives it credibility, reduces the volatility of it.
I think the goal would be to regulate it out of currency where that makes the dollar stronger. Right now, keep in mind the Fed and everybody surrounding the dollar wants it to be as strong as possible. They don't need somebody like a cryptocurrency coming along and knocking that off. That hurts the dollar. They're not going to allow that. That's my opinion. I could be completely wrong, but that's my thought.
Oh, man, I'm invested in Bitcoin. Hope you're wrong.
To look at that as far as how the overall economy and we've got $30 trillion, folks, of national debt that, by the way, is never going to get paid off. I hope everybody understands that. That's never getting paid back. It's $30 trillion. Granted, we have assets of a country that far exceed that, but still, at the end of the day, it's $30 trillion. We pay interest on that on a daily basis. It's imperative that we keep interest rates low, the dollar strong, so that as we go to pay that back, it costs the country less. I do think the powers that be at least understand that, Bob, and if that's the case, they're not going to let crypto run away. I just don't see it happening. Sorry.
What do you think, Roger?
I am not following the market closely enough to have an opinion one way or the other, to be honest with you. I mean, I don't want to see anything that ushers in the mark of the beast or a one world government or anything of that sort. I realize that this could potentially put us one step closer to that. But, you know, in terms of, Bob, you said something about the regulation. I kind of had to chuckle only because remember how many things that we thought were necessarily bad things, but then when we realized we could make some money off them, if we regulate them, it'll be okay. You know, I mean, whether it was abortion in the 1970s or marijuana in the 2000s, I mean, I think that when it comes to this type of currency, I think the bigger issue, the larger macro picture for me is what happens to the currency in terms of the way people can buy and sell, exchange, this, that, and the other thing, and how does it impact the rank and file people? Because the fewer options that we have, the more dependent we will become on government, regardless of what, you know, whether it's crypto or, you know, whatever we do. I was at the post office right before Christmas time, and you know, you guys remember the coin shortage, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. Please don't use your coins or you give us exact change because there's a shortage of currency that way. I was surprised to see that sign at the U.S. Post Office here, we were being like a Christmas cards a week before Christmas, and the sign said, there's a currency shortage, not a coin shortage. And so, therefore, we're not giving cash back. So basically, it was like, if you want to pay with cash, that's fine. If you want to get cash back, we're keeping it. And I thought, isn't that interesting? Why would they be in such a big hurry to collect? There's a shortage of cash. Well, gosh, I want to do my part for the government. I want to make sure you get all my cash. Right? What happens then?
And Roger, to your point, there's no doubt that, and Bob, I agree with you on this one, there's no doubt that they're going to try to funnel things more into the electronic end of things. But my thinking is, they'll try to do that with the U.S. dollar, not supplant the dollar through Bitcoin or Ethereum or things along those lines, but they'll try to do the same thing with the dollar itself and again, try to eliminate some of these other cryptos because that's competition to the dollar.
Right. All right. In our last couple of minutes here, let's talk about a 2021 recap in the body of Christ, in the church, the state of Christianity in America and around the world. To be honest with you guys, it's going exactly the way that Jesus told us it was going to go before his return. When Jesus said, when the Son of Man returns, will he even find faith? That it'll be as it was in the days of Lot, and Sodom and Gomorrah he's referring to, in the days of Noah. It is certainly getting that way, certainly in the West, I would argue. This Probe Ministries research poll that just came out a few weeks ago, asking self-described born-again Christians, is Jesus really the only way? Can other world religions also lead to heaven? Just under 70% said yes. We're redefining Christianity. We're rewriting scripture to fit this religion of self, which says Jesus is all about who I craft him to be. God is who I craft him to be. And it's a fake counterfeit Christianity that's happening here in the West. There are places in underground churches, in other places, third world countries, where the gospel is strong. But for the most part, out in the public, in the world, it seems to me that there's a sifting. And Roger, maybe I'll go to you as a pastor. It does seem, Roger, there's a sifting that's taking place here. The wheat and the tares are being separated large. I think it's a good and necessary thing. But I don't think Christianity is going away. I just think it's being redefined into something non-biblical.
Yeah, and that's a big, huge danger. It is a great distinction to make, Bob. How many people, George Barna calls it, adopt a syncretistic view of Christianity. The idea that you take all the parts of Christianity that you like, throw in a little bit of Hinduism, a little bit of Buddhism, a little bit of secular humanism, and whammo, you've got your brand of Christianity. And if everybody would just be like me, or be like my church, or be like my pastor, instead of saying, what is the way, the truth, and the life telling us through his living word? And the reality is the living word doesn't change. The translations may change. Obviously, there's some words in Aramaic that don't translate exactly into English or in Greek or Hebrew, and we have to be mindful of the context with which they're being used. But when churches spend so much time trying to tell you five tips for a happy marriage or how to be a better parent or how to live a prosperous life, and, you know, our guest speaker this week is Dave Ramsey. You know, I mean, and again, taking nothing away from Dave Ramsey and his ministry.
Sure.
But we have to understand what the basics are. And if 70% of people who profess to believe in God can be boiled down to 6% of that same group that actually have a biblical worldview, guys, the church isn't nearly as big as we thought it was in the United States. Mm-hmm. And so what we're seeing, I think we saw in 2021, was yet another, Bob, you mentioned, it's more separation of the wheat and the tares, the chaff from the wheat. I mean, the true church from the non-true church. And I think, quite frankly, this has been going on for quite some time, but it's been hyper ventilated, if you will. It's really been kicked into warp overdrive during the so-called pandemic, which I think is more of a plandemic, quite frankly. So, I mean, this is a gut check time for the real church, and it's time for the real church not necessarily to stand up and take over America again or to become a world power. Our mission, our great commission in Matthew 28 and Mark 16 is to go and make disciples of all nations. We're to preach the gospel first and foremost. And if it's easier to preach that gospel and let that light so shine against the darkness, we've got brothers and sisters who've been in captivity for generations preaching the gospel and living out faithfully as well. It looks a little different to us here in the U.S. We get bummed about Baron L. Stutzman or Jack Phillips. It's nothing compared to what people are experiencing in Afghanistan, for example. But let's not, circling back around to what you said earlier, Bob, about Afghanistan and the Biden debacle, why would he just randomly, you know, pull these people out and leave Americans behind and everything? Well, does it have anything to do with the fact that in the Middle East right now, the second fastest spread of Christianity is happening in Afghanistan? Whether Biden's aware of it or not, he basically unleashed a hornet's nest and told Iran and Iraq and China and Russia, hey, we're getting out of Afghanistan. It's free reign for you guys. If you want the minerals, you can have the minerals. If you want the people, you can have the people. But if you want to try to subject some Christians into your forced Marxist ideology, we're basically saying, go for it. You know, we're giving our two thumbs up by walking away and not doing anything. So I think in terms of where the church in America is, we have to be wise to what's going on. And rather than worrying about whether or not our mega church can get back together again because of COVID violations, take a larger look at the bigger picture and say, hey, to both of your points, the birth pangs are getting, the contractions are getting a lot closer, you know, in terms of the end times. And if that's the case, then Maranatha, come Lord Jesus.
Absolutely. John, maybe your final thought here in our last, we got about a minute left, your final thought on the state of Christianity in the church in 2021.
Interesting. We had a conversation on air about that yesterday and basically reiterating a lot of what, you know, you guys are saying right now and feeling exactly the same way. And I said it earlier, this is a great calling, if you would, of not only, you know, people in general, but the church as well. And I think you've seen through COVID, especially those that are really on board and want to see things happen and move forward, and they're in it for, you know, they're in it for all the right reasons versus those that are just sort of, you know, fringe Christians, I call them. They do it because it feels good or their friends are there or whatever the case may be. And again, there's just going to be a great continual, by the way, guys. This isn't going to end in 2022. Unfortunately, I think this is going to get worse, and you're going to find out really who are the real Christians. It goes back to that comment earlier, Bob, about, you know, the ushering in of the end times, and not saying it's here now, but are we getting closer by the day? I mean, we always are, but especially now, we're definitely getting closer. You're seeing it everywhere, including the church.
Absolutely. Well, folks, it is another National Crawford Roundtable podcast and another year behind us. And we always appreciate you folks tuning in, listening to us. We appreciate you telling your friends about us. We appreciate the 5-star reviews. We get a lot of them. And, you know, you can always listen to past episodes of this podcast as well at CrawfordMediaGroup.net, as well as Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, and more. Looking forward to great things in 2022. And Roger Marsh of The Bottom Line from the People's Republic of California, John Rush from Rush to Reason out of Denver, Colorado, myself, Bob Duco, Bob Duco Show in Detroit, Neil Boron Live from Buffalo, New York, who will be back with us next week. Guys, always great catching up with you, and thanks so much for the recap discussion this week, and look forward to next week.
Likewise.
Happy New Year, guys.
Hey,
yep.
Happy New Year.
See you next year.
I was wondering who. Somebody's got to play that card. All right, and everybody listening, thank you so much. God bless, and look forward to a new year with all of you. Take care.
You've been listening to the National Crawford Roundtable Podcast, a biblical view of culture, current events, and politics. Thanks for joining us. The first half of the podcast can be heard each week on this Crawford Media Group station. You can download and subscribe to the podcast at Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, and more. Apple users can rate the podcast, and we'd appreciate your 5-star rating. The National Crawford Roundtable Podcast returns with a new discussion each week. This is a Crawford Media Group production.